Imagine being crowned emperor at just 3 years old. You don't understand politics, power, or even the responsibility of ruling a family, let alone the largest empire in Asia. Yet, in 1908, a small boy named Puyi was placed on the dragon throne of the Qing dynasty, the last dynasty of Imperial China. His reign marked not the continuation of Chinese greatness, but the twilight of an empire that had ruled for centuries. This is the story of the last emperor of China, a tale of opulence, betrayal, war, and survival in a world changing too fast for an ancient throne. Welcome to History Unpacked. If you enjoy the content, consider subscribing. We post every week and we welcome any feedback. We hope you enjoy today's episode. By the late 19th century, the Qing dynasty was in serious decline. Foreign powers had carved up China into spheres of influence after the Opium Wars, and the humiliating defeats that followed. The dynasty had survived rebellions like the Taiping Rebellion and the Boxer Uprising, but each left the empire weaker. When the Guangxu Emperor died in 1908, Empress Dowager Cixi, the true power behind the throne, installed Puyi, her great-nephew, as emperor. Within 24 hours, she herself passed away. In one dramatic sweep, China's fate was left in the hands of a toddler. Puyi's coronation was dazzling. Golden robes, dragon banners, kowtowing officials. It all seemed like the ancient traditions were still strong. But outside the Forbidden City, revolution was brewing. The boy emperor grew up in near isolation inside the Forbidden City, a sprawling palace of courtyards and halls. Surrounded by eunuchs and tutors, he was pampered but lonely. He had no real friends, no concept of a normal life. Imagine being told every day that you were the son of heaven, while at the same time realizing you had no real power. Just 3 years into Puyi's reign, revolution erupted. In 1911, the Xinhai Revolution swept across China, fueled by nationalist movements and reformers like Sun Yat-sen. By 1912, the Qing dynasty had collapsed. The boy emperor was forced to abdicate. At just 6 years old, Puyi's reign was over. For the first time in over 2,000 years, imperial rule in China ended. And yet, Puyi didn't leave the Forbidden City. Under the terms of abdication, he was allowed to remain there as a kind of ceremonial figure, still living like an emperor, though only within the palace walls. For over a decade, Puyi remained inside the Forbidden City. He was waited on by hundreds of eunuchs, still carried in sedan chairs and treated like royalty. But he was also a prisoner of tradition, locked away from the modernizing China outside. Puyi grew spoiled, unpredictable, and cruel at times. He was said to beat his servants, to demand toys and luxuries, while the country outside struggled with poverty and warlordism. He lived in a gilded cage, never really learning how the world worked. In 1924, warlord struggles in Beijing reached a climax. The Republican government finally expelled Puyi from the Forbidden City. For the first time, the last emperor was outside the palace gates. He was just 18 years old, a teenager with no throne, no power, and no understanding of life beyond the imperial court. He found himself in foreign concessions of Tianjin, where he lived under British protection. There, Puyi began to embrace Western habits, wearing suits, playing tennis, riding in cars. But he also grew restless. He still dreamed of being restored as emperor, either in China or his ancestral homeland of Manchuria. Those dreams of restoration attracted the attention of Japan. By the 1930s, Japan had invaded Manchuria, establishing the puppet state of Manchukuo. For Tokyo, Puyi was the perfect figurehead, a legitimate emperor that they could place on the throne to mask their occupation. In 1934, Puyi was officially declared Emperor of Manchukuo. But in reality, he was nothing more than a puppet. His every move was controlled by Japanese advisors, his letters were opened, his decisions overruled, and his palace surrounded by spies. Still, Puyi clung to the idea that he was truly an emperor again. He signed decrees, held court, and lived in luxury. Yet in truth, he was little more than a prisoner dressed in silk robes. As World War II raged, Puyi's situation grew more precarious. He witnessed the brutality of Japanese occupation, including massacres and forced labor, yet he remained largely powerless to resist, his name used to legitimize one of the most brutal regimes in Asia. By 1945, Japan was defeated. The Soviet Union invaded Manchuria and Puyi tried to flee by plane. But he was captured by Soviet forces and taken to Siberia. For the first time, the so-called Son of Heaven found himself behind bars, reduced to a political bargaining chip in the Cold War. In 1950, the Soviets handed Puyi over to the new People's Republic of China under Mao Zedong. At first, the communist regime planned to execute him as a symbol of feudal oppression. But instead, Mao saw a propaganda value in re-educating the last emperor. Puyi spent nearly a decade in a reform prison, undergoing thought reform. He was forced to study Marxism, admit his past crimes, and live like an ordinary worker. By the late 1950s, he was declared reformed, and he was released. The man who had once been carried on a golden palanquin now worked as a gardener in Beijing. Later, he became a research assistant at a cultural institution. He lived in a small apartment, took buses, and lined up for food like everyone else. In many ways, Puyi became a symbol of China's transformation from empire to republic, from chaos to communism. He even married again, this time to a nurse, living a quiet domestic life until his death in 1967. Puyi's story is tragic, but also extraordinary. He was an emperor with no power, a puppet for foreign invaders, and a victim of history's storms. Yet he also lived long enough to witness and embody the complete transformation of China. From imperial splendor in the Forbidden City, to captivity in Manchuria, to prison, to gardening under communism, Puyi's life spanned one of the most turbulent centuries in Chinese history. His autobiography, From Emperor to Citizen, offers rare insight into how a child once worshipped as a god could end his life as an ordinary man. His story was later immortalized in the Oscar-winning film The Last Emperor in 1987, which brought his extraordinary life to a global audience. The tale of Puyi is more than just a story of one man. It represents the end of an era, the fall of dynasties, the collapse of empires, and the rise of modern China. For thousands of years, emperors had ruled as the sons of forever. But Puyi's abdication marked the end of that tradition. His life, caught between ancient rituals and modern revolutions, remains a haunting reminder of how quickly history can sweep away even the most powerful of thrones. The boy who once ruled the Middle Kingdom ended his days as just another citizen. The Dragon Throne stood empty, never to be filled again.